Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik. Caroline Rex Road hitting with us as well on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators forward Matt Duchesne, brought to you by Gary Ashton, Remax Advantage, and Social Furniture. Social Furniture in West Nashville at 5412 Charlotte Avenue. Support local, support social. Matt, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Hey, good. How about you guys?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to join us. So, Matt, first off, what's it like to be you right now? I would imagine your confidence very high shooting the puck at this moment for your team.
Yeah, I mean, hockey's a funny game. When I talk to people about our league and, you know, you watch NFL, you watch NBA, you watch, baseball's probably the closest with it when a good hitter gets in a slump or whatever, and it's a little bizarre or whatever, but you watch NBA or NFL, it's very rare where, you know, guys don't just do what they do on a night-in, night-out basis. And, you know, I think hockey is just like, it's just such a game of inches and bounces and confidence and feel. And, this is my 13th season, and it never ceases to amaze me how funny this game can be. And, you know, even look at the second goal against us the other night where it hits like Yost. The guy just shoots the puck into the corner. It hits Yost's stick, hits Fabs, and goes top corner on Juice. I mean, that's just hockey. So, I mean, it is what it is. And, you know, it's nice to be on the right side of things for a change. It's been a while.
So compare how you feel right now, Matt, just with your overall game to other best stretches of your career. I mean, is this up there with those?
Yeah, it's funny. It's always November for some reason. November 2015, I had a very similar kind of stretch, and I had a really bad start to the season that year. I had like 2 points in 10 games or something, and then went on a tear after that. I think after 20 games, or I had like 19 points or something. I had a bunch of goals in November, and then November of 2018, similar stretch I had. So, but this is goals wise is up there, probably number one at this point. So, yeah, I mean, when it goes in, and you know, I was kind of pissed not to get one last game, to be honest. I had a couple of really good looks, and felt like you know the goalie kind of got a good bounce on me a couple times. So, the thing about goal scoring is it's addicting. You start scoring and you just want to keep going and keep doing it over and over and over again. And I still say it's the best feeling on earth as a pro athlete is, doing well at your sport. And, you know, for me, scoring goals is, a great feeling. So the best part about it is it's helped our team get to where, we are in the standings. And, we didn't need anything from me last game that thankfully. So, we want to keep moving up in the standings, and we talk about, Thanksgiving. Usually if you're in a playoff spot at Thanksgiving, it's a really high percentage you're there at the end of the year. So that's been a little goal for us, and that's the biggest thing right now is keep, moving up in the standings.
Yep, you guys playing very well. And, Matt, I remember you were on with us last year just kind of talking about, the mental grind, not only of last year and everything that happened there, but the year before as well with COVID and the disruptions and just everything that's taken place, and how at times that was taxing, not only for just you, but for your group as well. Just thinking about what you've kind of battled through the last couple of years to get to this point now where you're feeling good, you're productive. I mean, you've seen what the outside noise has been like. Just what's this been like for you so far to start this season? Obviously from a confidence standpoint, but from your group and just the way you guys seem to be gelling right from the start.
Yeah, I think, like I said to my wife the other day, I said, I didn't realize how much last year affected me with just all the COVID stuff and affected our team. I mean, we go on that road trip in Montreal, and yeah, we didn't get the result we wanted, but the bonding we had off the ice was unbelievable, and we didn't have a chance for that last year. We're stuck in a hotel eating meals in a buffet room and couldn't go anywhere, and we're spending time together, but, it's different. And playing in front of fans. I mean, I think I'm as grateful as ever to be, you know, an NHL hockey player and get to live my dream every day. And, you know, it's, I think that appreciation's kind of going through our lineup. And then talking about our group, I mean, we've had some really good groups of guys here the last, you know, since I've been here. This is the best one. I mean, there's no question. This group is just, is so tight, and we have such a good time together. And, you know, I think that's really equating to success on the ice. And, yeah, I mean, it's just really nice to have a normal 82 game schedule back. I mean, for the first time in a long time. And, yeah, I think last year we were definitely sick of playing Carolina every other day. I know that. So, you know, it's nice to really, you know, go to some different cities, do some different things, and get back into like a normal season. So, I know everyone's having a blast. And I think, you know, the biggest thing we talked, you know, David Poile, you know, set the stage at the start of the year. In the past years when, you know, he or our coaches have given a speech at training camp, you know, it's felt like there's been some pressure on this team to be good and, like, you know, push for a cup and all that. And David said, you know, I'm going to say something I haven't said before. And he started off, he just said, let's just have fun this year. And I think that really set the tone. And when you're having fun and you're winning, and when you're winning, you're having fun. And, you know, it's really set the tone for us this year. And I think it's been a really fun year from the very start, a very different vibe than it has been in the past years. And I think everyone's really thriving and feeding off that.
So David said that, you said training camp, is this like a team dinner or something like that?
This is like after like fitness testing, the one day you have like a meeting, and it's like the kickoff training camp meeting. It's just middle of the day or whatever. And he gets up and does his speech, and they're always good speeches. But this year it was, you know, him saying that, I think really set us on a different course. And it felt like, you know, I think when I came in, it felt like 2017 was just it was a piano on everyone's backs here. They just were so close to winning. And obviously I wasn't here for that, but it just felt like that was kind of holding us back. And I think we finally turned the page on that as an organization. And, you know, it's a hard league, and it's a tough league. It's hard to win the cup. It's hard to even get deep in the playoffs. How many great teams lose in the first, second round? I mean, injuries and hot goaltenders and stuff like that. So I think, you know, you just take it day by day. And I think that's what we're doing a really good job of, is staying in the moment. And I think even for me too, I mean, with things, I don't think I've ever been more in the moment. I've always been a, you know, look in the future person, do something today for tomorrow type person. And I think right now that's been a huge thing for me, is just staying in the moment. It's come right from the top of our organization. And it's been great for us.
Well, Matt, obviously you've been tied here also to Ryan Johansson in terms of, you know, your contracts and the fact that you guys need to have big years and weren't protected and all that stuff. And you're playing well and putting up huge numbers. He's playing extremely well too. First of all, I'd just like to get your perspective on what you're seeing from him out there. But also, I mean, would you say any of this start or this performance has to do with both of you digging a little deeper in the off season, knowing the conversation and wanting to change it?
I don't know about him. I did the same thing I've always done. I think the biggest difference is, I know he and I both, and you know, Phil Forsberg, you know, some guys, we had meetings with Coach Hines, and there was some disconnect with us and him and what we needed, what he needed from us. And we had some long conversations, and you know, we weren't getting minutes that we needed to be successful, and we also weren't getting the minutes because we just didn't really know what we needed to do to what was being looked for from us in some aspects. So it was really frustrating at times for us, and I'm sure it was frustrating for Heinze too. And I think the biggest difference is there's a huge level of trust going both ways. And I give those boys a lot of credit, and Heinze a lot of credit, for everyone making it happen, because we've all wanted the same thing. But you look at the ice time difference from last year, this year, that, for me, that's been the biggest thing, is you're out on the ice all that time, you get in a rhythm, and I'm used to playing those minutes. I'm not used to playing 12, 13 minutes a game. I can't play my game at that. And, you know, last game I had 16 minutes after the second period, and, you know, Joey's playing big minutes too. And, you know, it's really helped. And I think, you know, the leadership that everybody showed and the, you know, the character and the, just to get together and iron things out. 'Cause it was never a personal thing. It was we were just a hair off. And I think that's been the biggest difference. And getting back to your original thing about Joey, I mean, Joey doesn't look that much different to me, to be honest. He, like, people just want to look at numbers. And I hate that about our game, but that's what it is, and that's what we're paid to do. That's why you know we make, you know, what we do, and we have to produce. But Joey's doing the process. It's the same stuff, and he's playing more. He's feeling better. He does so much thankless stuff out there that, you know, when you play with him, you really notice. And he's such a horse, and such a good two-way, you know, guy. He's not he's not a flashy guy. He's not a dynamic player, but he's just big and strong, great passer, and he's had a great scoring touch this year. And I think all of that mixed into one is really helped us, you know, be the players we can be this year. And everybody's very, very happy, but we're not satisfied. I think it's just the start. And for me, I know for me and for Joey, it's addicting to feel, to, you know, feel like this, and we want to keep going, and we don't want to stop. And, you know, every day we're trying to earn our, you know, continue to earn what, you know, what Heinze's given us and continues to give us. We want to stay at the level we're at, and we know that if we do that, that we'll be successful.
Matt Duchesne, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds taking on the Vegas Golden Knights tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Matt, appreciate so much you taking time to join us, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. We'll see you later tonight.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Absolutely. Thanks, Matt Duchesne, Predators forward, brought to you by Gary Ashton, Remax Advantage, and Social Furniture. Social Furniture in West Nashville at 5412 Charlotte Avenue. Support local. Support social. That's some pretty good stuff from Matt Duchesne there.
A lot there
from Matt Duchesne.
Good interview.
We will come back. We will react a little bit to what Duchesne had to say. Take your thoughts as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join us from 11 to 1 p.m. in the beautiful Bode Hotel Courtyard to watch the Titans take on the Patriots this Sunday. Game starts at noon, and we'll be on site giving away tickets to shows like the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Dirks Bentley. Sidebar gift cards plus a two-night, two-bedroom stay at Bode Nashville. You must be present to win. Drink specials all game long at the Sidebar, the Bode Nashville's in-house cocktail bar, serving cocktails, beers, wines, and bar bites. Be sure to join us at the Bode Hotel at 401 2nd Avenue South in downtown Nashville. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Today and every day, our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. That song, a Caroline Rex Road special.
You picked this one?
Yeah, I did. Actually, yes, I did.
There you go.
Thank you. Hey.
It's a good song.
He's still better at muting than me. Or non-muting.
That's right.
Unmuting.
Thanks to Matt Duchesne for joining us in the last segment. Melissa on Twitter says, what a great interview. And I could really sense his excitement in the group and his playing minutes. He's hungry for sure, and I'm here for it. The conversation that he alluded to there between, I guess, Johansson and Forsberg and himself and John Hines was very interesting that Duchesne had to talk about. Said basically a lot of conversations at the end of last year and more defined roles for them. I'm sure, you know, John Hines had some requests for them as well, and it seems like everything's working pretty well so far for those three.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's like you'd think, you know, you're in the midst of a season, you'd be able to talk through those things or whatever. I feel like there was still, even last year, there was an uptick from a lot of guys, right, in sort of adapting to what Hines is looking for. But very interesting. They had these long conversations. He said there, like, it wasn't personal. We've made a lot on the show, and a lot has been made. You know, Hines, he's sitting those guys a lot. They're not getting the ice time. What's going on? Clearly, they've figured it out exactly, specifically what is expected. And I think what's expected has led to a lot of this production.
Yep. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob from Antioch, who wants to weigh in. Bob, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, guys. I really like this team's identity. It reminds me quite a bit of what the Predators were like back when Trotz was their coach. And my question is, do you think that the reason that they've become hard to play against has to do with the fact that they've got so much they traded so many players, and the players that they that are no longer on the team were complacent and really didn't want to feel like they had to buy into Hines' system as much as these guys have, because I really like the way that you know, they've become very hard to play against. So I was wondering if you have had a theory about why that evolution has taken place.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. I appreciate it. You know,
always good questions for Bob.
That's an interesting question. You know, look, we talked about it at the time a couple years ago. That group had gotten stale, and they needed to be shaken up. So you think about the players that have left the last couple of years. Kyle Turris gone. Craig Smith gone. Ryan Ellis now gone. Victor Arvidsson gone. I mean, you can go up down the list of players that have come in and out of the lineup the last couple of years. I don't know that it's as simple as those guys are complacent. I think it's more to do with who they've been replaced by, and that is not only young guys, but young guys that are big and strong and fast, and they play a certain way. I was talking to Willie Donick about this maybe last week. You know, that the Milwaukee team from a couple of years ago that was just lighting it up in the regular season. And then, of course, COVID happens, and you're not able to get to the Calder Cup playoffs there, which there's a pretty good chance that team would have won a championship based on the way that they played. I mean, think about some of the names on that team. You know, Matthew Olivier, Tanner Jeannot, Yakov Trenin was on that team. Alex Carrier was on that team. I mean, you go up down the list of guys that were on that team that have now made their transition to the NHL. And I think those guys last year, the hunger that they brought to the table, the way they played the game, how aggressive they were on the forecheck, I think they deserve a lot of credit for changing the identity around for some of these older guys. Now, as Duchesne pointed out in the last segment, some of this I think is also finding the right fit for those guys. And we've said for a long time here on this show, like, you need, if Matt Duchesne's going to play, Brian Johansson's going to play, you need to put them in a position to be successful, and they need to be able to get the minutes they need to be successful. And so far this year, they've done that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said exactly what my answer would have been. I don't think it's really a complacency thing. I mean, think about the players we're talking about leaving. Kind of non-physical players. Turris.
Yeah.
You know, Arvidsson. I never thought Arvidsson was anything but a grinder who spilled it whenever he was out there. I think he also got diminished by injuries. But he had limitations with his size. And Ryan Ellis, too. So I think it's more just the tangibles of more size and strength. But it's also it's hard to replace the desperation or enthusiasm of a young player who's trying to stay in the league. And then when you find someone like a Tanner Jeannot who not only cements himself as an NHL player, but all of a sudden starts to look like, wow, he could be a really good one. You know, sometimes you need to have – I mean, Tanner Jeannot, actually, to me is a little bit like this year's – I think I've said this – Victor Arvidsson from – 5 years ago, where you just you knew he was a nice young player, but all of a sudden it's like, whoa, oh, he's that level of player perhaps, but a totally different kind of player. So I think it's just the physicality more than anything. And I think one thing Duchesne hit on that was interesting in that interview, among a lot of things, was the 2017 as a piano on the back a comment. That was interesting. And I think he's right. Like at some point, You're done talking about that, and the group looks so much different from that that there's no point in talking about it anymore.
Exactly. We're going to be joined by Adam Vingan coming up here in a few minutes. We'll get his thoughts on the Nashville Predators. Caroline Rexroad joining us here today on the program. I got a spicy take about Thanksgiving. There's all sorts of hot takes about Thanksgiving that are floating around out there. I've called it the most underrated holiday in all of the land. I don't think Caroline agrees with me all that much.
Well, so do we all have one Thanksgiving hot take?
Oh, yeah.
We can do this? Okay. So I guess we'll lead off with your blazing, blistering take. Go ahead, Caroline.
Okay. I think Thanksgiving is kind of stupid.
Oh, my gosh.
Because pretty much everyone is just like, Thanksgiving, food, yum, great, let's eat all day. Like,
not much substance to it is what you're saying.
But there is a meaning, though. It's giving thanks.
Oh, my gosh. Someone's face.
Is mom texting you right now? Turn off your microphone, Caroline. No. You just called Thanksgiving stupid, Caroline.
See, that would qualify as a hot take.
I don't know if we can have a hotter Thanksgiving take than this
sucks.
I think that Thanksgiving is one of the worst holidays ever.
Wow.
My God. Okay, I'm turning it off. You're muted.
Wow. Says Caroline, who already has her Christmas list made. She already told me.
This is awesome.
I mean, Robbie, this hits at you. You think this is your best holiday.
That's a direct assault to me is what that is.
Oh, my God.
But she doesn't care. She just gave us both a hand. Doesn't matter. Rex Road, what is your hot take for Thanksgiving?
I think I have a double food hot take. It's nothing. I think I've said it before. I can't live up to this hot take. But two things. One, cranberry has no room, no point. It's awful. I like cranberry juice, okay? But like cranberry, any sort of way that you want to make the cranberry, get it off the table. I'm like Matthew Judon, except with his ridiculous macaroni take, but with cranberry. It has no place. And also, turkey is like my least favorite. I mean, I don't even look at the cranberry, but after that, turkey is my least favorite thing about the entire Thanksgiving meal. Those are my hot takes.
Dennis texting in says, Caroline thinks Thanksgiving is the creed of holidays. The creed of holidays.
She thinks Thanksgiving is cheeks, and I am not here for that.
That's right. Michelle Knezevic, do you have a Thanksgiving hot take?
See, my hot take is kind of opposite of Caroline's.
Good.
And it's more of about the day and surrounding the day. And it's do not put your Christmas decorations up before Thanksgiving happens. Right?
Wow.
Caroline doesn't like that right now.
You disagree? Can I say? Go ahead.
Okay. I put my Christmas tree up last night in my room.
You were so close.
She's so close.
There's Thanksgiving.
48 hours away.
Wait, does this mean you're planning to have Christmas without the rest of us? Is another hot take. Okay. Good luck with those gifts.
She's already got the list, Rex Road.
Oh, man.
I'm with you 100%, Michelle.
And music, all that stuff. Black Friday. Start at Black Friday.
Yeah.
Right? Shop, all that. Just give it its time.
I think most of the world would agree with that. I don't know if that's a hot take, though. The only thing is I think that's a
oh,
I don't
no.
know, man.
Yeah. I know people who are religiously November 1st they start decorating for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I guess you're that's right. It would be a hotly contested, yeah.
I don't know if I can have one spicier than Caroline if Thanksgiving is awful.
She wins.
I love it.
Cheeksgiving. Great.
I'll just say that Thanksgiving is the best holiday of all the land. The best one. Caroline just called it dog water.
It's dog water.
Oh gosh. When we come back.
I'm so ashamed.
We'll be joined by Adam Vingan from The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on the Nashville Predators. That's coming up next. 102.5 The Game, Preds Game Day broadcast brought to you by the Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens, and baths on the webs at GoHermitage.com. We'll be right back with Adam Vingan here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember FDIC, equal housing. Linda, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezevic, Caroline Rex Road here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Wednesday morning at 9:30, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic, presented by Bank of England Mortgage. Adam, what's going on? How are we doing?
I have a couple of comments before we start.
Okay.
First, I understand you had John Oates on the program earlier.
We did.
I was disappointed not to see Rex Road fangirling like a preteen outside of TRL in the late 90s when the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC would show up.
How do you know I wasn't?
I just feel like you think you're too cool for that.
You may be right about that.
Also, I have something to say to Miss Caroline.
Okay.
Miss Caroline, you are a bright young woman, but your Thanksgiving take was stupid.
Now she is laughing. It's good stuff.
What? Okay. I mean, if you have something to say, you got the mic.
Yeah.
Okay. In my Thanksgiving. So one time, we were having Thanksgiving with my cousins, and we were going around saying what we were thankful for, and he goes, bacon. That's food. That is food. That...
Which is an amazing thing to be thankful for. Cousin Freddie, shout out. Shout out to Cousin Freddie.
Thanksgiving is about food. That just proves my point more. That.
But you can still be thankful for so many things.
You're thankful for food, and that's what I'm trying to say.
I mean, we should all be thankful for bacon. I think we should all agree with that.
That's why Thanksgiving is all about food.
Okay, I'm muting you.
There we go.
Hi, Vinkin.
Oh, that was awesome. All right, Adam, we had Matt Duchesne on earlier. That's some interesting comments about just his fit with this team, the confidence he's playing with this year, and talked about, you know, having a conversation with John Hines in the offseason, Ryan Johansson having one too, and Philip Forsberg about, you know, just getting more minutes and feeling like they weren't playing enough minutes the last couple of years. How big a factor do you think that is in terms of what we're seeing right now on the ice from those two specifically, Johansson and Duchesne?
I think it's a big factor. And by the way, speaking of Thanksgiving, I've got 5 other adults, a baby, and 3 dogs in the house right now.
Oh, nice.
Now. So it's a bit crowded. But regarding Matt Duchesne, you know, for me, watching Duchesne last season at points when he was healthy, I just didn't see the commitment to two-way hockey that John Hines expects from all of his players. And I think that was reflected in Matt's ice time. I realized that Matt Duchesne didn't average much ice time relative to previous seasons, but I didn't realize until recently that his average ice time per game last season was the lowest of his career, and I think by a considerable margin. And I think that demonstrates why we were wondering if Matt would buy in, so to speak, into John Hines' vision for the team. And I think you're seeing that this year. I think his all-around game is so much better this year. And I think, as John Hines said a couple of weeks ago, Matt's play away from the puck is what's allowing him to get more offensive opportunities, whether it's generating offensive zone possession time, generating chances off the rush, getting to the slot. You know, he's doing all of the right things to maintain his production, because we look at his numbers, we look at his shooting percentage, we look at his expected goals, and we expect there to be a lull at some point. But Matt is doing all of the right things offensively to hold off that regression for the time being. But I think you are seeing a effort on the opposite side of the puck that you did not see last season. And I think that's why Matt has been rewarded, not just on the score sheet, but in terms of the ice time he's receiving and the line mates he's playing with.
You gotta stay focused through Pretzel losing his stuff there, Vingan. You know, I thought you wavered a moment, but then you plowed through. Good job. Good work. It's a holiday week. You had a really interesting interview with David Poile. A lot in that. But I'm interested, after the interview, after talking to him, what is your feeling about Philip Forsberg and those negotiations?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I tried to pin David down on a couple of things regarding Philip Forsberg. You know, the one thing that I find interesting, and John Hines has spoken about this too, is you look at the amount of games that Philip has missed over the past 4 or 5 seasons. He's missed at least 15 games in 3 of the previous 4 seasons, so not including this season. You know, he's been out for 3 weeks, but he could be back tonight. He could be back Friday. You know, David and John both believe that the nature of Phillip's injuries have been fluky, which I think you can mostly agree with. And perhaps because of that, there isn't as much of a concern about his long-term health when it comes to forecasting, you know, how many games he might play in future seasons if he re-signs with the team. You know, I don't agree with that. I mean, fluky or not, Philip Forsberg has had a problem staying in the lineup over the past 4 or 5 seasons. And I know that his most recent injury, he suffered by colliding with Roman Josi. And as I said before, you know, he didn't mean to collide into Roman Josi. So I understand the flukiness regarding that. But, you know, to just outright dismiss it because of a quote-unquote fluky nature of the injuries, I'm not there. I mean, the point is he's in his late 20s, and he's missing 10 to 15 games a season. To me, that is a cause for concern. But at least publicly, John and David don't seem to agree with me on that.
Adam Vinken from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, do you notice anything, I guess, noticeably different with Ryan Johansson this year in terms of why he's been as productive as he's been? What's been your thoughts on the way that Johansson has played so far?
Well, you asked John Hines about that after the game on Monday, and I thought John's answer was really good. I think with Ryan Johansson, I think we often conflate his off-ice personality with his on-ice personality. And, you know, I've taken to referring to Ryan Johansson as the Jeff Spicoli of the Nashville Predators, which I'm sure Rex Road can appreciate. But
awesome.
You know, can't you imagine Ryan Johansson saying, "Where'd you get that jacket?"
Absolutely.
Yes. So, you know, I think some people see the laid-back personality that Ryan has off the ice and think that's how he plays on the ice. And you know, I don't think he's done himself very many favors in that regard over the past couple of seasons. But, you know, John said to you, Robbie, that he's skating with purpose. And I think you can see that on both ends of the ice. You know, Ryan Johansson has all of the tools that you would want in a number one center. He's big. He's skilled. He can push people around. And I just don't think you've seen a lot of that from him in the regular season. I know we used to refer to Colin Wilson as playoff Colin Wilson around these parts, but once Colin left, it sort of transferred to Ryan Johansson. And it was regular season Ryan Johansson and playoff Ryan Johansson. And the question always was, can Ryan Johansson find the gear that he plays in during the playoffs, during the regular season? And I think you're seeing that so far this season. I really think he's, you know, been a lot more noticeable on the ice. He's making good plays on both ends of the ice, and, you know, good for him. I think, you know, as Matt told you, it's, you know, sort of addicting for the two of them to play this way and keep earning big ice time. And, you know, you look at how the Predators have been able to get off to this, you know, better than expected start. And, you know, I would put those two players at the top of the list.
I'm going to go back to the Poile interview on Elli Tolvanen. Quote, "He's shooting 2%. I would have to think that should get a lot better, and it has to," end quote. Interesting comment, yeah. One. And also, are you seeing anything that indicates things may be changing soon for Tolvanen?
Well, when you look at his fancy stats, like I like to look at, you know, he's doing, like Matt Duchene, he's doing a lot of the right things in terms of generating offense. I think the only two players on the team who have more shots on goal this season are Roman Josi and Matt Duchene. Matt Duchene first, Roman Josi second, and Tolvanen third. And the shots that he's taking, you know, I would think are dangerous shots in terms of, you know, whether they're in the slot or off the rush. So I agree with David in the sense that Elli Tolvanen is too good of an offensive player to continue to shoot 2% over the course of a full season. We talked about potentially Duchene regressing. You could also see some positive regression from Elli Tolvanen at some point. But, you know, one thing that we've spent the last couple of years talking about is all of the secondary scoring options who are playing well, whether it was Tolvanen or Trenin or Janot or Cunning, and it was the star players that weren't holding up their end of the bargain. Now it's the complete opposite. Johansson's playing well. Duchene's playing well. Granlund continues to play well. Josi's playing well. But, you know, Cunning hasn't scored as much. Tolvanen hasn't scored as much. You know, Tomasino hasn't scored in several games. Same with Janot. You know, if they can find that secondary scoring and then have those players catch up to the top players, you know, this team could be in a good position. But, you know, I agree. You know, I think Tolvanen continues to do the things that he needs to do to score. You would just hope that once one finally goes in, the levee will break, so to speak.
Adam Vinken from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Wednesday morning at 9:30. Adam, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, and we'll see you a little bit later.
Now, Joe, I'm not condoning that you not feed your daughter on Thanksgiving.
Jeez.
But I do think she needs to learn a lesson here.
Wow. Wow, we're seeing Vingan's tough love parenting.
The parental skills are coming out.
I hope young Arlo is more thankful for the things that we need to be thankful for.
That's correct.
And my sweet Caroline. Oh, sweet Caroline, there's a pet peeve.
Oh, yeah, come on.
She hates that song.
Can I have my Thanksgiving hot take?
Do it
right ahead.
Before I go. I'm not sure how much of a hot take this is, but to me, turkey to me is secondary to the side dishes. When I load up my plate, it's like 80% side dishes and like 20% turkey.
It's an obligation.
Do you know anyone that's 80% turkey and 20% side dishes?
Fair. But no, I'm with you.
I don't know. You could put like a whole turkey leg on your plate if you want.
Okay.
And then just have a couple of side dishes. But to me, the turkey is secondary to the side dishes.
Okay.
Like Rex Road said, it's an obligation. You feel obligated to eat turkey because it's Thanksgiving. But I could eat an entire meal of side dishes and not eat turkey if I chose.
Okay.
All day.
Adam Vingan, presented by Bank of England Mortgage from The Athletic. Here, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. Adam, appreciate you, brother.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Yep.
All right, we'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Adam had to say there. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Rhodes here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Corner Pub in Bellevue this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Corner Pub in Bellevue at 8058 Tennessee Highway 100 prior to the Titans taking on the New England Patriots. The NFL pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Remember FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Caroline Rex Rhodes, favorite song coming back.
I mean, it's a great song. You got to embrace the song.
It's the worst song ever. Like, the worst.
It's your your name.
No.
It's about to get to the good part.
No.
Ba-ba-boom. Oh, I don't know how you couldn't like that song.
She actually handled that well. She really did.
It's
like
the worst
like
song
on
ever.
Road trips, we've tried, and it's like, oh, we'll change that real fast. Way to keep it together.
Yeah.
Keith on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, said, more Joe, less Caroline after your Thanksgiving table.
No. Wow.
It's more Caroline, less Joe.
And Jared Stillman says, I guess you don't go around the table and give thanks at the Rex Road household.
We do. I said a story about how they said food. I'm not saying that Thanksgiving's like, how do I say this?
Cheeks?
Yeah, cheeks. No, I'm saying that, but I'm not saying that you aren't supposed to give thanks. I'm saying that it's mostly about food. Like,
she says it's too hyper-focused on the food.
Who knew? Who knew that you would come in today and just be under siege? This is the deal, you know?
Joe, this could be put on you that you don't educate her enough.
I agree.
Yeah, Joe.
Oh, now we're getting outward public disrespect of parents.
Joe,
is potentially my favorite show of all time.
When does school?
With Caroline Rex
Road. When do you guys go back to school?
Sorry, Dad.
Between you just Googling over John Oates and Caroline Rex Road being in your day, this is one of the greatest days of my life. It's been awesome.
And generations that Joe just can't deal with.
That's
got four generations.
He has to be right.
No one could be three generations older than their own child unless it's like Hugh Hefner having a child at 88 years old. Like someone. You know, having a child to the music of Jared's intro song.
When you were going to watch those Charlie Chaplin movies back in the 30s, didn't you think that this might be a conversation one day?
Exactly.
Yeah.
In your defense, we're on the cuff of them, but technically, you are Gen X or a baby boomer if you want to be.
Yep.
I'm a young Gen X. Okay. So let's be
Robbie's
clear.
A millennial. I'm a Gen Zer, and we've got Gen Alpha in the center right there.
Can I disassociate myself from my own generation? Is that loud?
I think you're growing into a boomer. I think.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a boomer show pretty soon.
The two boomers.
It could be the renamed show, The Two Boomers.
Hey, and by the way, wasn't there another show that you had a problem with? Name? Oh, you've already said that before.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah.
He's
done
that before. We've
program.
Already done that.
Yeah. What?
That was a Rex rant one day, mini Rex rant for Caroline.
The Jared.
Oh, the Jared thing.
But she
oh,
up,
I came
whoa,
up.
Whoa.
That was really loud.
Oh, my gosh. Happy Thanksgiving. No, she has a new name for the show, though. Give the new name.
Okay, I have a new name. It's Caroline and Company.
Boom.
Oh, I like that.
I like it.
Just taking them out.
I'm in favor of it.
Oh, that's good stuff. Big win last night for Nashville SC. Getting it done in the playoffs, 3-1 against Orlando City. They move on to take on Philadelphia on Sunday in the second round. Hani Mukhtar, absolute stud status.
That second goal was
and there's another
was
point for
silly.
Me.
The second goal
yeah,
was
she did
silly.
Get picked a click.
That's
although,
right. Well done.
Let's be honest. Like if you get Hani Mukhtar, it's not that difficult.
You're probably going to win. But you know, after Yonder Cadiz scored, I realized like we had neglected Yonder Cadiz for a long time.
Well, he got in the game for like 3 minutes last night and that, scored.
That's some efficiency right there.
I know. Oh man,
big win. They got a chance to make another run.
They got a chance to make another run defensively. Got a little hairy at times last night, but they hold on. They advance. Big win for Nashville SC in front of a great crowd at Nissan Stadium last night. We are not going to be on the air, obviously, tomorrow for Thanksgiving. We will be back Friday at 8. So 8 o'clock in the morning on Friday for Black Friday. You and I will be live at Bridgestone Arena. So looking forward to that.
That's right. Yes. Would you like to come for that, too?
I'm good. I don't think I could wake up that early.
No, it's
again.
8 to 12.
It's 8 to 12?
On yeah. Friday. Those wheels are
now
turning.
She's trying to think of another excuse.
No, you might see me, you may not.
That's right. I like that. We'll just have to, it's a mystery. We'll have to wait and find out.
Happy Cheeksgiving.
That's right. Hope everyone has a happy Thanksgiving out there. Eat plenty of turkey. Focus on the food, as Caroline Rexroad would say. Caroline, we appreciate
no,
you coming
I'm
in.
This is a,
she's
this
done with me.
This one's going to the time capsule.
That's right.
We'll
be
we
back
love you, John
Friday
Oates.
Morning. Hope everyone has a great day. This has been Robbie and Rex Show. Darren Dodd can chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5, The Game.